You're listening to Valley Public Radio. The Fresno Philharmonic welcomes its sixth candidate for the vacant position of music director and conductor to the community this week with Jose Luis Novo, who leads the Philharmonic in a concert this Sunday at the Sorollan Theater featuring Mozart's Overture to the Magic Flute, Ravel's La Valse, Dvorak's Violin Concerto, and Stravinsky's The Firebird. Jose Luis Novo most recently has led the Annapolis Symphony Orchestra and Binghamton Philharmonic. A native of Spain, he came to the U.S. as a Fulbright scholar, earning a Master of Music and a Master of Musical Arts degrees from Yale. He completed Master of Music degree in orchestral conducting at the Cleveland Institute of Music and concluded his conducting studies at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. He now joins us at Valley Public Radio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So great to have you. And welcome back to Fresno. You've been here before.
Yeah, I had the chance and the pleasure to conduct the orchestra back in January of 2015.
Okay, very good. Well, we're delighted to have you back.
I'm delighted to be back.
And you're part of the whirlwind dog and pony show of the conductor interview process, which is quite a thorough and rigorous process.
It is. I was just thinking about it yesterday before leaving town to take to the plane, that I remember when I sent my application, it felt like it was 3 years ago.
Well, congratulations on making it this far, and we're all looking forward to the concert this weekend. And actually, you raise a good point. Usually, it felt like 30 years ago that you submitted your application. We were just talking before on air a little bit about persistence and the need for persistence. And you were telling me about advice you got from your father when you were very young.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a very good advice for any career, but in music and especially in conducting, you have to be very persistent, because not everything is going to happen the way you would like it to. So my father, when he first heard that I wanted to become a professional musician, he said no, despite that he himself was a very good pianist and he had great musical training, but he was a music teacher. So because of his perspective, he thought it was very difficult, and he thought the best thing that he could do for me was to discourage me. Yeah. And then he realized soon enough that I was very stubborn and I was not going to give up that easily. And in the end, I kept persisting and telling him I would like to learn how to play the piano or how to learn music. And even if I have to work hard, even if I have no money to it, when you're young, you don't understand what that means.
Right.
I kept telling him, this is what I want to do. So I think he realized that I was very persistent, and he let me start. And then I think around my seventh or eighth year as a conductor, I conducted a concert in my hometown with the orchestra there, and he was in the audience, and I heard him whispering to my mom's ear, I think we should let him do music now. So that was for me the confirmation that I had the okay from my father.
That must have been very gratifying for you.
It was, yeah.
So let's talk about your introduction to music. What was your first instrument?
My first instrument, actually, I started playing piano a little bit on my own, because my father, as I mentioned, was a pianist and he used to play every day at home. That was my first contact with music. But my first real or true instrument is the violin. I learned pretty much everything in music as a violinist. And that was my access door to the orchestral world as a violinist in an orchestra. And then after that, I started conducting.
As a violinist, you develop deeper knowledge, love, appreciation for orchestral music. And what led you to conducting, and how did you come to the realization that, yes, this is the path for me in music?
Well, I think the conducting seed was always in me, because ever since I started music, I had this passion for seeing how every single element in an orchestral score is put together and how everything combines and how things work. And I remember listening to symphonic recordings that my hands would start moving on their own. I don't even realize how or what that means, but I thought that probably was an important thing to observe. And I thought it was so the conducting aspect was always intriguing and very interesting to me, but I thought it was way too difficult. So it was not until I had enough training in other things as a violinist and in harmony analysis, solfège, counterpoint, that then I thought maybe I am more ready to consider conducting more seriously now. And at some point I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to conduct when actually I wasn't really that ready. I mean, I didn't know any conducting, but that was kind of the starting point for me to think about it seriously. And then ever since, things kind of unfolded very naturally.
So let's talk about, as a conductor, how do you prepare for, let's focus on just preparing for an individual piece. How do you prepare a piece or a concert? And how do you work with the orchestra? And what's the role of conductor in from preparation to performance?
Sure. Well, I think the first aspect, of course, is learning the score as well as you can. And in order to do that, you have to... What I do is I go from the big stuff to the small stuff. So I start analyzing the work, finding the structure, and then going deeper and discovering the small details and the small elements that add the particularities of each masterpiece. Once you feel that you have assimilated all that and you make the work your own, then you can get in front of an orchestra and try to help them to understand how you see the music. Because I think a lot of what the conductor does is basically unifying concepts. I don't believe in imposing my view of the piece, but I try to lead the orchestra from a point where I tell them I am probably the person that has spent the most time with all this music, and I'm going to show you how I think it should go, and I give you room to show me if you like that or if you have something to contribute, and we will put together all that. And I think that the more you involve the musicians in opening the doors for them to contribute, the more you engage them and the more they embrace what you have to bring to the palette. Because I think that every musician, orchestra musician, has a lot of training. So everyone has a lot to contribute, and it would be stupid for a conductor to shut the door to that. So I basically invite the orchestra to contribute to the path that I think should be our best path together.
Now, you've had 10 years for long periods of time with multiple organizations. So expanding beyond just how do we work an individual piece, how do you work with a symphonic organization to build an arc for that symphonic organization, for its the sound of that group, and you know, the repertoire and things like that?
As the music director, you are really the artistic head of the organization, and you have to have an artistic vision. I think that's the most important aspect. You need to know what kind of artistic goals you can set for the organization. And I mean, you don't necessarily do that by yourself. You do that within the organization, but you have to lead the way, because you should be the one that has the highest artistic goals. And then you have to make the orchestra relevant to your community. So the artistic goals of each organization should be unique. You can't just apply a formula to any single orchestra, because it just doesn't work. Each orchestra has a personality, has different peculiarities that make it easy or difficult, and you have to work with all those things to make it always better. You have to, as a music director, you have to challenge the orchestra to get better, and you do that by programming repertoire that the orchestra has never played, or programming repertoire that the orchestra doesn't feel comfortable with. But you also have to program repertoire that the orchestra can play very well. So you have to find a balance of challenging and building confidence. And the same with your audience. You have to make sure that the music that you are performing, it's attractive to your audience. But at the same time, you also have to enlarge the horizons of your audience, bringing them music that hopefully they will like, but they just don't know it. So finding all those balances is what it is, tricky. But again, with a great artistic vision, I think that's the way to do it.
Okay, very good. You mentioned a couple of things there that come to mind. Relevance of your performing group to its community, and leading both the players in that group and the audience. I know one of the things that as part of your career is you're a champion of new music, newer compositions. As a music director, artistic director, how do you balance the giving voice to new composers versus honoring the tradition and playing the favorites that audiences, you know, want to hear?
Well, I think I have done throughout my whole career of always honoring the masters, because I think that it's important for everyone. It's important for the audience who's familiar with them. It's important for us because the masters keep reminding us of how great music is. But at the same time, I am very passionate about presenting new music. And actually, when I was visiting Fresno last time in 2015, we did a fairly new piece by a woman composer from California. And that was one of the things that I felt was very successful in that program, that the audience in Fresno reacted very well to new music from a composer from their own land. And I think this is the way to do it. When you present new music, you have to choose music that you believe in. That's the key aspect. Like in everything, there is good new music and there is bad new music. So if you choose good new music, or at least, again, music that you believe in and that you can make the case for, then you will be you'll be a great ambassador for that composer and for that music, and then you can make the case to the audience. If you don't do it that way, there is no way that any audience is going to fall in love with music that you don't believe in. So that's, I think, how you should do it. And of course, you have to find the balance to present new music with the music that people feel more comfortable with. And I think that in order to do that, you have to, when you are about to perform music that is unfamiliar to an audience, and that doesn't even apply only to new music, but to all kinds of music, as a music director, you have to give as much information to your audience as possible. Oftentimes I talk from the stage and I say a few remarks of why I believe it is important to listen to this music and to perform that music. And usually I get very good feedback from the audience, saying that it is very useful and helpful to find out more than what you would if you just read the program notes.
Very good. You're listening to Valley Public Radio. We're in conversation with Jose Luis Novo, the sixth candidate for the vacant position of music director and conductor at Fresno Philharmonic. He'll be leading the Philharmonic in a concert this Sunday at the Soroyan Theater. You've been talking about education, talked about challenging your orchestra and providing challenge and growth for your audience. What other roles do you play in your career in as music director and conductor in education?
Orchestras are very complex organizations. I think that sometimes you have to fight with politicians to teach them that you just only perform. We perform, we educate, and we do lots of outreach activities that they are part of the whole complicated texture of an orchestra. I think every orchestra has to develop an inclusive and complete educational program that hopefully is well integrated into the educational system of the community, but not only for young people, but also for adults. And I think that educating your audiences is one of the important things that we have to do as performers, because music, especially classical music, is not part of the curriculum of any school these days, or almost any. Is not an important part. So we have to be the ones who tell our community, why it's important that we all have some kind of training, formation, education in music. And for us musicians, it's very easy to say, because I think music makes our life so much better. But people outside of music, they don't always see that as an important thing. And I think that it is up to us to convince them and to show them why life is better with music than without.
Let's talk a little bit about the concert coming up this Sunday. You've selected a number of pieces that are tied together through a common theme of Marc Chagall. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah. Well, as you probably know now from the other candidates, we were given some parameters of how to conceive our program. And basically, we had to conform to a size of an orchestra and choose pieces from three different styles, basically. And while I was thinking about the programming of this concert and doing research and thinking about, one of the things that I wanted to do was choosing repertoire that the orchestra might not have performed very often or ever, because I think that it's always a good thing to try to work with an orchestra in repertoire that they need to learn. And while I was doing all this research, I came across a connection with, I was considering very seriously Mozart's Magic Flute and Stravinsky's Firebird, which they ended up in this program. And then I realized that Marc Chagall had done great work on these two pieces because he designed the sets and the costumes for two big productions at the Metropolitan Opera. And then I realized that Marc Chagall had found an incredible amount of inspiration in music. As you know, he painted the ceilings of the Paris Opera. And in those paintings, there are scenes of at least 12 different major musical works, either from the opera repertoire, the ballet. So I thought, since we are coming up with Marc Chagall's 130th anniversary of his birth in actually June of 2017, I thought that was a good excuse to find this as the connecting link, but also because I thought that it made for a beautiful, incredible program, and I love that vibrancy of Marc Chagall's visual output, and I wanted to create a program that was visually that brilliant. The other piece that I suggested was Ravel's La Valse. Originally, I wanted to do Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe, but that was not easy to coordinate with the parameters of the search. So I thought, instead of that one, we can do La Valse, which is also a ballet that it relates well to the Firebird, because it wasn't the same Diaghilev Ballet production, so in Paris. So in the end, we finished with this Magic Flute Overture, the Dvorak Violin Concerto, because it was a great exponent for our soloist, and then Ravel's La Valse and Stravinsky Firebird.
Okay, very good. So let's talk a little bit about the Dvorak Violin Concerto, because we have a wonderful soloist coming this Sunday, Chi-Yun, terrific violinist.
I haven't worked with Chi-Yun before, but I've obviously known of her for a long time, and I thought that one of the traits of her performing was the glossy, beautiful sound that she has. And again, that related very well to the theme of Marc Chagall. And then I thought, let's try to choose a piece that is going to bring that to the fore. And thinking about, again, repertoire that the Fresno Philharmonic had not done, I discovered that the Dvorak Violin Concerto was one of such pieces, and it's actually one of Chi-Yun's favorites. So I thought that should be a great piece to do, and obviously she agreed, and I'm glad she did.
Terrific. Now, just curious, as a violinist, have you ever performed that?
No, I haven't. I have conducted it before, but I have not studied as a violinist. I've studied other violin concertos, but not that one.
Okay, very good. Now, how many rehearsals will you get with Chillon and with the Philharmonic?
With the whole orchestra, we will have 4 rehearsals. With Chillon, we will have 2. She comes in sort of halfway of the process. I will meet with her to sort of find out what the conception of her piece is, and then we'll both rehearse with the orchestra once. Then we'll go to the dress rehearsal and then the concert. But with the full orchestra, we have 4 rehearsals and then the concert.
All right. You've had opportunity to study under some of the great conductors, music directors of our day, and both when you were in Cincinnati and in Cleveland, and then also in workshops around the in clinics around the world. What have you learned from them that has changed your approach to conducting or enhanced or augmented your knowledge of music and conducting?
Well, I've learned so much from these people. I think probably the most important thing that I have learned from them is that it's a very complex activity. Conducting an orchestra requires lots of different talents. And each of those people were particularly good at least one or many more talents. And I think it's very clear from the outside when someone is very good at something that you can use that to build your strengths. So the more skillful you get with different type of talents, the more resources you have to become successful. And what I have learned from all these different great conductors is that you have to find your own voice by building up in different blocks all these different talents that the profession requires. So that's what I try to do.
Jose Luis Novo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to hearing the expression of your musical voice as you work it with the Fresno Philharmonic and special guest soloist violinist Chillon this Sunday, April 9th, at the Sorolla Theater in downtown Fresno.
Looking forward to it.
All right. For Valley Public Radio, I'm David Aus.